Good morning, Overflow. It is good to be with you on this fine morning. How many of you are grateful for the opportunity to come and study God's Word? Amen, amen, amen. I guess for the rest of you, you just came for coffee. We are beginning a new series next week called Bad Vice. It is being kicked off by none other than Pastor Craig, who's going to deliver an entree on next weekend. But today, I wanted to give you a little bit of an appetizer to help you and to prepare you for what's to come. And I would encourage you to reach out to your family, your friends, your loved ones, and invite them out as we begin this series that discuss bad advice that we get from some people that we love. How many of us at some point in time receive some bad advice? You're like, Lord, I wish I had not have listened and followed that advice. How many of us have done that? It's okay. Go ahead. Some of you are lying out there. I know that you did. But the goal of this series is to help us to identify those bad advice from good advice, right? And it's going to take a lot of prayer and a lot of discernment, but the whole goal, the whole principle of this series is to help us to rely on good advice, especially coming from God's Word, especially coming from the Holy Spirit, and to be able to weed out bad advice. And so I want to take you to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, starting at verse number 25. Numbers chapter 13, starting at verse 25. Now, before I begin reading the scripture, I want to just set this up for you. So what happens in Numbers 13 and 1, God talks to Moses, and he tells Moses, Moses, I want you to select 12 individuals who will go out into the land, and they will be like journalists. They will be investigators. Their whole responsibility is to check on the welfare of the land that I am going to give to you, that I promised to give to the Israelites. And so Moses did exactly what God instructed him to do. He went out, he selected 12 men, 12 individuals who would represent Israel, and they will go out and investigate the state of the land. You know, how good is the land? How fair is the land? How fair is the people that live in that land? Check out, you know, the agriculture of the land. This was all to be an investigative finding that they were going to report back to Moses to let Moses know the state of affairs in the land that God was going to give to them. And so now we get to Numbers 13, verse number 25. They come back, and this is the report that they give to Moses. This is the advice that they give to Moses. So after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses, so now they're giving their report. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live also along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb, who was one of the spies, one of the journalists, tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And he said, "Let's go at once to take the land." He said, "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." And so they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we travel through and explore will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers." And that's what they thought too. Now we see some conflicting views, right? On one hand, we see 10 individuals who are saying, "Moses," right? They start off their report very positive. "Yes, everything that the Lord said about this land that is flowing with milk and honey is true, Moses. It is beautiful, it's bountiful. But you got to be crazy if you think we can conquer that land, Moses. There is no way in the world that we can defeat those people. We're like grasshoppers to them, Moses." And here's the reality of this story. Moses not once ever asked them for their advice.
Come on.
Right? You know, we got friends, right? Who give us advice, and we never ask them for advice, right? We have family members who want to just share their opinion or what they think is right, and we never ask them for their opinion. Moses never asked them whether or not we should go and conquer the land. God had already told them the land was theirs.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
But yet, they thought it was necessary to say, "Moses, we can't do this." And it's a great thing that Moses already had a relationship with God, that Moses knew God face to face, because otherwise, if he didn't, he would have felt compelled to follow their lead.
Come on, that's good. Yes.
Because he knew the God that the Israelites served, that he knew he had a personal relationship with him, he already knew that this land was ours. But the whole moral of this story for this morning is I want to show you three ingredients of a bad advice. Three ingredients of a bad advice. And hopefully and prayerfully, you will be able to identify and be able to know when there's bad advice versus good advice.
Yes. Yes.
And the first ingredient of a bad advice is that it's rooted in fear. It's rooted in fear. What was the concern with the Israelites, with the spies who came back? There were giants in the land. Moses, there were giants in the land. I mean, we got to deal with the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Amorites. I mean, even their termites are big, Moses. We can't defeat them. See, what happens is for a lot of people, we get so focused on the problem that we don't look at the solution.
Come on. Yeah.
We get so enamored with the obstacles, with the barriers, until we forget the person or the God that we serve who will give us the power to overcome them. So what we say is, no, you can't do that. You can't accomplish this. You can't achieve this because you're not smart enough. You can't accomplish this because you're not gifted as she is. You can't do this because of your gender. You can't accomplish this because of the color of your skin. You can't go to this place because of where you were born and the family you were born in. We get so compelled by what we can't do. But I am reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And so when someone tells us, you can't do this, you can't do that, I just want you to repeat the words of Paul in Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me the strength. The second ingredient to bad advice is resulting from a lack of trust in God. A lack of trust in God. And this is tied to fear. Because whenever we don't trust in God, fear steps in. Here it is. The children of Israel already knew what God had promised to do for Israel. These 10 spies knew the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God made them this promise that I'm going to provide for your descendants a land flowing with milk and honey. They saw and they heard the miracles that we see in the book of Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire, the manna from heaven. They were able to drink water from the rock. They saw all that God had done for them, and they still had a lack of faith in God. Right. And I often used to wonder, it is so interesting how these Israelites, you know, could just walk around faithless all the time. When they saw God's miracle, they saw God's signs and wonders all the time, how could they ever doubt God? But then I think about us. Lord, if you deliver me from this situation, I will always be on a battlefield fighting for the Lord. And as soon as he deliver us, we forget. Lord, if you will help me in this situation, if you are really there, you will help me. And he helps us and we forget. Yes. We are like little kids, right? Who we are only, the parents are only good for the last toy that they got. What have you done for me lately? We forget all of what God has done for us because it is rooted in our lack of belief and trust in him. So as a result of that, it is important to stay away from those who lack trust in God. And the third and last ingredient of bad advice is that bad advice is rooted out of self. How many times have you been given advice from people who say, well, I think, or their advice is rooted in their past hurt or their past pain or their past wounds? No, you shouldn't do that, because when I did that, this is what happened to me. And that may not be relevant to your experience. Yeah. Let me tell you a story that is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15 when A group of people decided to give someone bad advice rooted out of themselves. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we see King Saul. King Saul was given the instruction by God. I want you to go and to wipe out everything among the Amalekites. Yeah. So Saul went out. He wiped out most of everything. And he kept some things that he said was to the Lord. God appeared to the prophet Samuel and said to Samuel, Samuel, I am done with Saul. Every time we give him an instruction, he never follows it. So from this day forth, I have chosen someone else who's going to be the king of Israel in place of Saul. I am done with him. Samuel is like, man, what has he done again? So he goes out to meet King Saul. Saul greets him, and Samuel said, have you done everything that the Lord told you to do? And Saul said, yes, Samuel, I did exactly everything God said to do. And then Samuel said, well, I see some sheep and some goats over there. Where did they come from? Well, Samuel, since you ask, we thought, right? We thought it would be a good idea to keep the sheep and the goats so that we can make a sacrifice unto the Lord. Isn't that a great thing, Samuel? We get to make a sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel said, but that's not what God told you to do. Right. He told you to destroy and wipe out everything. But Samuel was listening to the advice of his soldiers who told Saul, look, this is what we could do, King. We could save the sheep and the goat, and we could make a sacrifice to the Lord. Doesn't that make sense, Saul? Doesn't that seem logical, right? God loves sacrifices, doesn't he? And Saul started to think, yeah, that does make sense. That does seem rational. Yeah, let's just save the sheep so we can make an offering to the Lord. But that's not what God told him to do. And so no matter how well-intentioned we can be, no matter how noble we think something is, as Samuel told Saul, God desires and values obedience over sacrifice. And sometimes we get so caught into, well, this seems logical, but God has made it crystal clear to us what his plan is, what his will is, but yet we're hoping for someone to come along and say, no, this is the best path forward, but God has already told you what to do. Okay. And because of this mistake, because of Saul's disobedience and disregard of what God wanted him to do, his life was changed. The kingdom that he was over, that God gave to him, was stripped from him and was given to a man after God's own heart, a man who no matter what anybody else said was going to follow God. As the worship team comes up, who are you getting your advice from? Are you listening to the wisdom of the world, or are you listening to the wisdom of God? Are you listening to those who advise you out of fear, who advise you out of their lack of trust in God, who advise you out of themselves, or those who follow the plan and will of God? Let me tell you about one who will never give you bad advice, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that I'm about to go, but I'm going to leave you a comforter, and he's going to teach you and guide you in all truth. So if you want to be successful, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to do what is right, listen to the words of the Holy Spirit, because he will never fail you. Father, we are grateful for this word that reminds us to trust in you, to have faith in you. Lord, we know that fear paralyzes our faith, and now we commit ourselves to you, knowing, God, that you are a God who never fails. You are a God who never gives us bad advice. We seek you every single day of our life. It is in Jesus' mighty and matchless name we pray.